So we are in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita is a very beautiful progression of ideas. The first few times when I had heard and tried to study the Bhagavad Gita, I used to think that the chapters are very disconnected. There doesn't seem to be any order or any sequence, but the more you, when you listen to these great teachers like Swami Chinmayananda and Ishwarananda and all of them, and you think about it, you find that there is a very beautiful sequence of ideas. It's like a speaker, how he connects each idea in his talk. That is how the Lord has done this Bhagavad Gita. And just to briefly summarize, in the first chapter, we hear about Arjuna's confusion because he does not know what is his duty. And the teacher from the second chapter onwards starts telling him what is his duty, what he should do. In the second chapter, he introduces the entire Bhagavad Gita as to what he is planning to teach in the 18 chapters. And then in the third chapter, he starts with karma yoga, because how do we start our spiritual journey? With activity, because we are all working. We are all working. We are not retired. We have not taken sannyas and gone to the forest. So how one should work in the world. And then in the fourth chapter, he talks about how one can work with the yajna spirit, all work together. And in the fifth chapter, he talks about karma sannyas, where when you do something for others, even that feeling that I am the doer, or I am somebody special, or I did a great job, or I'm a great servant of the Lord, or I'm a great servant of that community, even that doership should be gone. So he's slowly taking our ideas higher. And then in the sixth chapter, he introduces the topic of meditation, which we are doing on Thursday evenings here. Where we are doing the sixth chapter, which talks about the technique and the benefits of meditation. And then the seventh, eighth, and ninth are the higher knowledge of the Upanishads, where he talks about that one Brahman, that one consciousness that is all-pervading, and this whole universe is an expression of that. And also about the identity of the individual with that consciousness. When he is all-pervading, then he is everywhere and he is in every thing. He's in the table, he's in the floor, he's in the fan, he's in space, and he is in me. It's not only he, actually God is the energy, the consciousness. So this consciousness that is neither male nor female, but that is all pervading, and also in me as life. And so this brings us to the 10th chapter, where Arjuna, having heard this message of the Upanishads, that there is one consciousness, we call him God or Jesus or Father in heaven or Allah or Krishna, that is in me and in everywhere, but I am not able to see it. I am not able to perceive this consciousness. Where is this God? How can I see him? How can I know him? So in the 10th chapter, which is called Vibhuti Yoga, it talks about that one Lord, how we can easily see him everywhere. Because that is the biggest obstacle. You know, they say, God is everywhere. You say he is in this table, I don't see him. You say he is in me, I don't feel he is in me. You say he is in all the beings. But if he is in all the beings, why is there so much violence? Why is there so much killing? Why is there so much suffering? Why are some people happy, some people unhappy? So in response to that question of Arjuna, this 10th chapter talks about the glories of the Lord, how we can see him everywhere in all our day-to-day activities. So in the 15th verse that we did last time, he says, you alone can know yourself, because ultimately none of us truly know him. It is only the Lord alone who knows everything and knows himself. And how am I to know him? So in the meditation and in the 6th, 7th, and 8th, and 9th, he had said, meditate, go into the silence, and when your mind becomes quiet, you merge into that consciousness. And that is good, that is good. But he said, I'm not ready to merge. I don't know how to meditate. You taught me, but I'm, Arjuna is a man of action. He's in the war. He's a prince. And he says, for me, meditation is very difficult. So I need some way so I can see you at all times. So that is the request of Arjuna. It's almost a demand, actually. He almost says it, that I want to hear it. So the teacher very graciously replies, but anyway, we'll do the verse number 16, where Arjuna's request or demand continues. Verse 16, chapter 10. Vaktum arhasya sheshena devyahyatma vibhutayah yabhir vibhuti bhir lokan imanstvam vyapya tishthasi. So he says, here he says, vaktum arhasi. Arhasi means you should. You should, you must. It is mandatory, it is necessary for you to tell. Vaktum means you should tell. Asheshena, shesha means leaving something out. Asheshena means without leaving anything out. I want you to tell me in detail everything of what? Devyahi atma vibhutayah. Divya means, of course, the divine. Atma vibhuti means your divine glories. Tell me all your divine glories. And when they put he means indeed. Means it gives emphasis. So that as a soldier, he's used to giving orders. Even to his teacher, even to the Lord, he says, I want you to give me everything in detail. It's not that he's insisting to be rude, but this shows his intense desire to reach him, to know him. It's not that he's trying to be arrogant or anything, but his personality is such that when he wants something, he wants it. And that is a very important characteristic for a spiritual student. You know, we have a Guruji Swami Tejomayananda Ji says, you know, our desire is pajama style. Pajama, you know, dhila dhala, you know, like a pajama is, you know, theek hai, mil gaya to theek hai, nahi mila. If I find God, it's okay. If I don't, it's okay. If I learn anything. So when you have that kind of an attitude in anything, you know, whether you're trying to compete in the Olympics and you say, oh, if I win the Olympics, it's okay. If I don't win, what's the big deal? And you'll never win. You know, the person who wins, he decides 8 years ago that in 2020, there's going to be an Olympics and I'm going to start from today training. In any field, you want to have a successful business, you cannot say, it's okay, you know, I'll go 1 hour here and there. If I don't have time, I won't go. Then what will happen? People will steal your business. So same way in spirituality, you have to have that determination that I want, and want. And this is the most important goal in my life. And that is, here we see Arjuna's anxiety, Arjuna's desire to know. So he says, I wish to know your divine glories. And what are these glories? Yabhir vibhuti bhir lokan. Yabhi means it's the third case, instrumental case. He says vibhuti bhir, with these vibhutis, how all these vibhutis, lokan imam, in iman means this, lokan means these worlds. So how you are vyapya tishthasi, how you are pervading in this whole universe. How are you pervading with all these glories? I want to know. How are you? Vyapya means he's there everywhere. You know, it is very clear, but still I don't see you. So how are you able to stay in this world and pervade everything and I still don't see you? I want to see you. I need to see you. I must see you. So that is Arjuna's strong desire. And when we say lokan, when we think of world, we only think of this world, okay, this earth and this Neptune and Uranus and stars and all that. But there are so many other worlds. There are worlds above us. You know, the scriptures tell us that there are 14 worlds, seven above, seven heavens, you know, different level of heavens. And then there are this earth and this visible world, and there are six below, which are the hells, you know, which are the lower worlds. So there are 14 worlds. So he not only pervades this whole universe, but pervades all those 14 worlds. But even beyond that, beyond the physical world, there is an emotional world and there is an intellectual world. There's our world of our emotions, where my emotions deal with her emotions, his emotions, and all the world's emotions of all the beings. Dogs have emotions, cats have emotions, everybody. So there's an emotional world. Then there is an intellectual world, a world of ideas. You know, like physicists, they live in a world of physics. Chemists live in a world of chemistry. Sportsmen, they live in a world of sports. So all these physical, emotional, and intellectual worlds, they are all pervaded by that one consciousness. There is only one consciousness. There is only one God. And all the forms that you see, Krishna, Shiva, Ram, Sita, you know, Mother Goddess, Durga, Saraswati, Jesus, Buddha, Allah, whatever you see are all manifestations of that one consciousness. So I wish to see that, but you should show it to me. Why does he say you should show it? You know, he starts by that saying, you should show me this. Why? Because he, as we had said before, I see this pointer, I see this table, I see the chair, I see people, I see, but I don't see you. All I see is physical, mental, and intellectual fields. So I am not able to find you. I am not able to see you. What is your address? He says, give me your P.O. box. Where do you live? In fact, our children in the Bal Vihar, 1 year, they do a class called P.O. Box God, where the class says, how can you see God? And that is one of the... So in the Bal Vihar also, what they are doing is they're trying to, at the level of the children, tell them about the same thing. So here he wants to know, where does God live? And then he has heard in the 6th, 7th, and 8th chapter and 9th, you know, you sit in meditation and you sit quiet. And in the meditation, when your mind becomes quiet, you merge into that. He says, I don't want to merge. I am living in this world. I want to see you in this world. I do not want to merge my ego. Again, when people say merge, people have a wrong idea. You know, they think that by merging, that means I'm going to disappear and I'm going to become useless. It's actually the opposite. Like, to give an example, there is a gentleman named Robert Jones. Now, he's an ordinary, you know, citizen of the United States. And then the president picks him to become ambassador to Brazil. So now Robert Jones is no longer Robert Jones, but he's ambassador to Brazil. And he has given up his ego, you know, even though, say, he may be a Democrat and maybe very strongly believing in the democratic principles, but the president happens to be a Republican and the policies of the nation are Republican. So he is not going to practice his individual thoughts and ideas. He'll say, I'm representing the United States, the government of the United States. So whatever the official policy of the United States government is, I will carry it out. So he has given up his individual ego, his individual ideas, and become a representative of the U.S. government. But does that mean he has disappeared? No, actually he has become a lot more powerful. First, he was an ordinary citizen, you know, just Robert Jones living in, you know, Washington, D.C. But now he's Robert Jones representing the whole nation of the United States. So he has a lot more power. When he goes and talks to the president of Brazil will listen. If he went as an ordinary citizen and said, I am Robert Jones, he'll say, who cares? You know who you are. You can get lost. So this is what happens. So when a person gives up his ego and becomes one with the Lord, he becomes an ambassador of the Lord and he becomes a saint. He becomes a representative. Then he becomes a Buddha. He becomes a Jesus. He becomes a Shankaracharya. He becomes a Swami Chinmayananda. He becomes a Mirabai. And then those saints and those great prophets and philosophers become beacons of light for the rest of us. And that's why we study Swami Chinmayananda's commentary, because people like him then guide the rest of us. So that is what he says. I do not want to merge. I am not yet ready. I have a wife to take care of. I have children. I have a war to fight. I have an army that looks up to me. I have a kingdom to run. So I want to see you, and I want to see all your divine glories, because only you can show them to me, because I have tried. I have tried my best. And I want to know how you pervade this world. Also, it shows that to some extent that he feels incapable of. And that is what happens to every one of us. You sit down and try to read a book, and we find that it is not that easy, because the scriptures can guide you but cannot show you God, cannot take you to God. They can lead you, they can direct you, they can help you. And even the prophets, even the teachers, even the Mahatmas, nobody can carry you to God. In fact, Swami Chinmayananda used to very clearly say, he says, I'm not a mule. Don't ride on my back and expect that I will take you to Brahman. And he used to say, I'm not a mule guru. In fact, there are some sects and some teachers who say, I can take you to God. You know, you come and surrender to me and I will show you God. I will take you to God. Ultimately, this journey has to be undertaken by each one of us individually. Nobody can take you, not even your wife, not your husband, not your parents. You have to undertake this journey yourself, and you have to have the determination and the desire. Yes, the teacher can help. You know, a guru can help, scriptures can help. So that is all good, but ultimately I have to do it. So here Arjuna says, I don't want to do it. I want you to gift wrap God and bring it to me. Gift wrap yourself. So Swami Chinmayananda in his commentary gives a very beautiful example. Like there's this child and his father gift wraps a gift and brings it for his birthday. And this child is really little and he's all excited because there is this big box and, you know, he doesn't know it, maybe a bicycle, maybe something. And he's all excited. And also he's struggling to open that packet, but his little hands cannot open it. And he's trying to untie the ribbon and he can't. And he starts crying, Dad, you open it, you open it. And Dad says, look, you are big enough. You should open it yourself. I'm not going to open it. You are grown up. And then again he tries and again he's crying and he can't open. And his mother says, look at it. He's just like you. He can't do anything for himself. I have to do everything. So she comes and opens the gift for him and gives it to him. So similarly, here he's telling God that you gift wrap yourself and bring it so I can see it. Because I am in this world of this universe, you know, this world, as I said, these three worlds, physical, mental, intellectual worlds, all these 14 worlds. And what is the bridge that will take me from this world to your world? Because ultimately what they say in the scriptures that God is not a person or a place or a location. Yeah, you can personify him. You can see him as Krishna or you can see him as Jesus or Shiva, which is good. It is easy to love God and know him as a personal God. You know, that my personal God is so-and-so and I love him, and that is very good. But then from that, one should then see the same Lord as everywhere, all-pervading. Because if you restrict him to this, that, okay, only Krishna alone is God and nobody else can be God, or Jesus alone is the path, or Allah is the only one and everybody else should be, you know. So then what you are doing is you are limiting God, that he can only be in this particular form, only in this particular shape, only in this particular place, only in this building. If you worship him, you will go to heaven. If you worship him in the building across the street, you will go to hell. I think sometimes these wrong ideas come because some leader wants to increase the power. So he says everybody should come to me and nobody should go to the church across the street or that mosque or that temple. And so they come up with these ideas. Even in Hinduism, people say Krishna alone is good. You know, those who worship Krishna. And they used to have wars between the Shaivites and the Vaishnavites. And people used to kill each other and people used to, you know. So these all wrong ideas come because of power or because of economics, that if more people come to my church, I'll have more power, I'll have more money, I'll have a bigger temple, I'll have a bigger mosque. So to think that he is only in one form or he's only in one book, you know, this book alone is the way and not the Bible or the Quran or this prophet alone is, then you are limiting him. So he is limitless, but he is still not easy. So when we say limitless, that means he is everywhere. And if he is everywhere, then he is in everything and he is in me also. So that is the essence. But Arjuna finds that idea very difficult. He's like us, you know, where we have heard this, but even though, it's not that easy to grasp. So he wants a practical demonstration. So that is what he says. Show me where you are, so I may know you, I may reach you, and I may understand who you are. So this is Arjuna's demand, Arjuna's request, Arjuna's order almost. But the idea is that he has this intense desire to know him. Any comments? Yes. The beauty of the Sanskrit language is that one word can have several meanings based on the context. Like if you open a Sanskrit dictionary and you look up the word yoga, you will find half a page of meanings. If you look up the word dharma means faith or the religion, you'll find a whole page. So dharma or yoga, or these words have different meanings based on the context, based on how they are used. So there are several meanings. I can tell a few. One is the yoga means the science. So like when they say buddhi yoga or dhyana yoga, like these, each chapter is given a different name. You know, vibhuti yoga, dhyana yoga means the yoga of meditation, the science or the teaching. Then yoga comes from the word yuj. That's the Sanskrit root, means yuj, Y-U-J-A. So yoga means anything that is uniting you with the higher is called a yoga. So like they say karma. Karma is action. And then they say in the third chapter, they call it karma yoga. So when they meet karma yoga, of course, one is the science of karma action. But also when my activities are joined to a higher, like when I sacrifice my individual being for the welfare of the family or for the welfare of the community or for the welfare of the nation or the welfare of the whole world, so, or when I dedicate all my activities to the Lord. So yoga means dedicating, joining, combining. Then yoga also means, when they say vibhuti yoga, then vibhuti and yoga. Vibhuti means how do I see God in outside, in the external glories. And yoga means how do I see him inside, in me. So when he says transcendental means I'm seeing him everywhere. And immanent means how do I see him within me. Then he, some places he says tremorless yoga. So again, it means that the science of how do I evolve with my making my mind quiet. So it is like a science that how to make my mind quiet and peaceful so I may progress. Another place he says, yoga karma su kaushalam. Efficiency. Efficiency in work is yoga. So he uses the word yoga in the Gita many places, you know, karma su kaushalam. So doing your work efficiently is also yoga. Then of course, yoga also means, you know, those yogic exercises. But that is a part of the Patanjali's eightfold yoga. You must have heard about that, the various steps that you quieten your mind and this and that. So the word yoga is used in many places and has different meanings based upon the context. So we have to look at the context and then study that. Thank you. Yes. Just approach him with love and he's waiting for you. I was telling her last time. One of our saints writes, you know, somewhere in his book, he says, Tum ek bar pukaro mujhko, main ji ji karun das ber. He says, you call me one time with love and I will come 10 times and say, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, what can I do for you? Ji, ji, karo, aap ji, aapko kya chahiye, aapko kya chahiye. He says, that is how he is waiting for us, just for us to call him with love. Our problem is we don't have time. You know, we are so busy. Oh, I'm so busy doing. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to meditate. I don't have time to go to the temple. I don't have time to go to the lecture. Swamiji has come. But I have so much work, you know, why? How can I go and attend his lectures? 1.5 hours, you know, I could be seeing so many more patients or I could be doing cooking. You know, all these things we give more important than to him. And he's just, poor guy is waiting. He's waiting outside the door. He says, open the door so I can enter. In another place, he says, man ki aankhe khol, Baba. Man ki aankhe khol. Open the eyes of your mind. I'm waiting behind them to come and, you know, bless you. But we don't have time. We are just so busy in acquiring and possessing. It's so sad. So please never ever say that he's angry or he's not. He's whatever suffering we are getting is not he. It is our own actions that are causing that. It is our own foolishness, our own wrong deeds that are coming back to haunt us. He does not. He doesn't do any of that. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramayah, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchit Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.